Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Spirit Therapy tonight on this Monday night in New York City. It's been a lovely day down here, a nice little warm feeling in the middle of November. Pretty awesome when those things happen. And I am joined by my co-host, Diane Mallett, who is in Boston, Massachusetts. How was your weather today, Di?
Absolutely stunning. It doesn't get better than that for November 18th. I'm telling you, I saw kids at school today with shorts on. It's weird, so I don't judge the weather by children.
Yeah, I love these days. And actually, I'll share a story to start us off here about manifestation. Last week we talked about mind power, and you know, it's such a broad subject, but I think we hit on some good points. And so, you know, we talk about what you're thinking and feeling, and that ends up manifesting whether you like it or not. Well, so today, big manifestation story that included a flat tire. So I've had this bike just for a few months, my first bike here in the city. It's been great all summer. And, you know, I'm learning a little more about what you need to do, like to take care of your gears. And, you know, I know that flat tires happen, but I rode my whole life when I was a kid, and I don't remember one flat tire, to say that. So, but I've been thinking more and more about what would happen if I got a flat tire. And it became this thing that before I would go out, I would have to convince myself that I was not going to have a flat tire. Why was I having this fearful feeling? And to just let it go, because that's not what we want to manifest, Nicole. But yet, I found myself thinking about it a lot. So today I went to go for a ride, take advantage of this beautiful weather. And the feeling was so strong that I was going to get a flat tire. And I rode, and I rode to my farthest point, and I hear a pop. And I was like, I wonder if that's a flat tire. And somehow was like, ooh, this is a beautiful place to spot, just to stop. So I pulled over, and I just went and sat on the rock and had this wonderful meditation. I've never done that, but seen other people do it. And finally today I did it, sat down, had a wonderful meditation. In hindsight, I realized I didn't even remember the fact that I heard this pop and that there might be a problem. And so I go to get back on to the bike, and it's a no-go. We're not going. I'm like, what's going on? I was like, oh, right, there was a pop thing. And lo and behold, here's my flat tire. I was like, well, Nicole, my first thought was, well, Nicole, congratulations on your manifestation. Because one thing I was thinking while I was thinking about this, even though I didn't want to be thinking about it, but noticed it was happening and noticed that I was really feeling things about it, and I thought to myself, well, why hasn't this happened yet? Because if this is what manifestation is about, why have I not gotten a flat tire yet? Because I'm definitely thinking and feeling about it. And, well, it's because today was the day. It's on its way. So, but, you know, after a moment of panic of, oh, no, what am I going to do? I'm like hundreds and hundreds of blocks from my house. Like, that's what smartphones are for. So I just looked it up, and I could walk easily to a shop, and actually ended up getting some nice lights, and everyone was really nice in there. I was in and out of there in about 15 minutes, and it was such an interesting thing. I felt such a feeling of relief and also more of an understanding of what it takes to manifest, because it was just this feeling, and they say it takes 17 seconds for a thought to start to manifest. And especially if you're having a strong emotion attached to it, then manifestation is going to happen. So, and it's
well,
the truth.
I have a question, just to be a devil's advocate, which I love to be. But here's my question, being a psychic, what would the difference be? And I'm just thinking in a different way, mm-hmm. but other than manifestation of the flat tire, knowing that, you know, feeling it was going to happen and thinking thoughts and then it actually manifesting everything, what about the whole idea of having a psychic premonition and
right,
then
tuning
realizing, is it similar to that? I mean,
yeah,
what do you think?
Well, that's an interesting, that's exactly what I asked myself. I said, well, but what if we just felt it coming and we felt it so strong today because it was coming today? And I think that's definitely part of it. Absolutely. But still, it's still a manifestation that I created. And I'm aware of
right.
it. It's funny. I listened to an Abraham recording about exactly that, and that was the question. Am I just having a premonition, or am I manifesting this? And Abraham said, it's both, but at the end of the day, it wouldn't be there if it wasn't. Some part of it had to be in your vibration and something you were putting out there. And, I mean, I can't deny it. I was thinking about it, and it was a very strong feeling. And, okay, flat tires happen, but never to me, apparently, until today. So I like to look at it the other way also, which is why I say congratulations to myself, because if you know how to do that, then you can also manifest exactly what you want. It's the same thing. And not wanting to have that feeling, but I can look back and see exactly what I was feeling, exactly what I was thinking. And it, to me now, it looks like a formula for manifestation. How do I do that with something I actually want, if I can do it with something I don't want?
Yeah, I think you need to think a little bigger than a flat tire, Nicole.
Yeah, you think?
Wealth, fame, relationships. I can name a few. Flat tires wasn't on the top of my list, but
no, usually isn't. But I actually really enjoyed it. So, and I saw part of the park that I had never seen before, so that was pretty cool too. So if it had to happen, it was really a best-case scenario. So anyway,
excellent.
I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, good learning experience. And we learn from everything that we do in our lives, too. I mean, every experience is a learning experience. It's how you perceive it. And, you know, and mm-hmm. so you've taken a situation that could have put you in the ground and you turned it around to a really positive experience. And we talk about that all the time with manifestation. It's not so much what's actually physically happening, but how are we approaching it and how are we changing our thoughts to make this a positive environment to live in your own head and to make, you know, good for other people as well. So good work.
Thanks.
Good work.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. It was good. So let's talk about past lives.
Sure. Mm-hmm. One thing before we get into past lives, I just wanted to mention to our listeners that mm-hmm. the planet Neptune has gone direct. So we don't talk about Neptune very often. It was actually retrograde for a really long time. And Neptune is the planet of six senses, spirituality, dreams, things like that. And when it's in retrograde, what happens is that we actually see more clearly. And a lot of people like it because they can take care of their business and things like that. As it goes direct, our ability to get into our deeper senses is heightened. So it's a really good time to know when the planets are shifting and changing and we can make use of their astrological approaches. So, you know, Neptune is a great, great planet to put on your rose-colored glasses, tap into your creativity and just work with that. So I just kind of noticed that in my findings this week as I was looking through astrological readings and whatnot, that I would prefer to be direct personally because I'm a Pisces and I like to live in that world of imaginary things. So, but it definitely helps with psychic abilities and, you know, working with things like that. So,
wow, that's great. great.
Yeah, we had a really interesting full moon and everything happened this month. And this past weekend, a lot of the things that happened, Nicole, were the same in my chart as they were aligned in the planets. Because my moon is in Taurus and the full moon was in Taurus. I'm a Pisces and the Neptune went direct in Pisces. So I don't think I felt very clear this weekend. I felt very clear, like almost like that wheel that you just click at every, you know, when you're doing a lock on a bike lock, so to speak, and you do 24, 38, you know, 4, and it clicks. I felt like, I feel like aligned because the planets were aligned and matching my own astrological footprint is what I like to look at it or, you know, whatnot.
Wow, that is so interesting and good for you for finding out. I mean, way to catch it right there on that moment.
Ooh. It was kind of neat. It was definitely kind of neat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, after the Mercury retrograde, like, I felt a big difference this weekend, too. I would imagine a lot of people did, you know, so that makes a lot of sense. Pretty cool. Yeah, so past lives. So I'll start it off with what started it for me. I found this book, Many Lives, Many Masters by Dr. Weiss. And actually, it was taught to me in psychology class. So I'll just tell you a little bit his story. So as a traditional psychotherapist, Dr. Brian Weiss was astonished and skeptical when one of his patients began recalling past life traumas that seemed to hold the key to her reoccurring nightmares and anxiety attacks. His skepticism was eroded, however, when she began to channel messages from the space between lives, quote unquote, which contained remarkable revelations about Dr. Weiss's family and his dead son. Using past life therapy, he was able to cure the patient and embark on a new, more meaningful phase of his own career. So it's a great book, Many Lives, Many Masters, the true story of a prominent psychiatrist, his young patients, and the past life therapy that changed both their lives. That's the full title. But when I learned about this, it was very interesting, and I actually went to someone who had studied under Dr. Weiss for past life regression therapy, and it totally changed my whole idea about it. One of the things that he said that Dr. Weiss felt and this doctor agreed with was, at the end of the day, they don't really know nor care if it's actually a past life thing or if it's just something your brain is doing. But the results that happened for their patients and the knowledge, everybody, I guess, has heard about this, that there's all, when people have past life regressions and they have this knowledge or information or can speak a language they have never spoken, didn't know about, you know, comes out, you have to wonder it is. So in my opinion, you know, I tried it and I believe it's definitely past life. But I think that there are so many past lives and so many different energy vibrations that, you know, just to accept the concept as something's happening here that's going to tell you more about who you are now, were, will be looking to accomplish, that's how I see the past lives. What do you think, Di?
So, see, we have, what I find to be great about this particular subject is I am not and never really subscribed to past lives. It was never anything that was in my agenda. But I do appreciate, and I still have a very open mind as to, like, when you say specific instances, like, what if someone goes into a regression and they start speaking a different language or, you know, or talking about an experience that there's no way on earth they could have had? You know, where is this coming from and whatever? I do like to bring it to the forefront of what's going on today and saying, why is this significant in our here and now today? Why am I learning about this right now? It has to be affecting my present in order to make changes and move in and work into my future and whatnot. I often think of the astrology behind the whole thing, being a Pisces. It's the end of the cyclical arena where you're supposed to be at the end of your road anyway. So maybe I always have that kind of natural feeling that, you know, when I pass on, that's it. I pass on, you know. I also had a father in my life who was very much atheist. And when you passed on, you went into the ground and that was it.
Sure. A lot of people think that. Yeah.
So, I'm always open to listening and to learning more about it. I've never done past life regression for myself, so it's something that's very different for me. But I know you've done it, and I've always been kind of fascinated at how we've connected over the past years together. And when you've done regressions, you've seen me through your regressions, which I think is fabulous because I'm certain if that was true, it's probably very true in past lives together. I think about things like that. It's very interesting. I do know that there are ways to access past lives readings and stuff through the cards as well. If you meditate and you go through, and there's ways that you can kind of, I've done somewhat of past life readings to see where people are at and what their past life must have been like. And like I said, it's still, there's such a gray area about it. But, I think part of it is because not every soul comes back. It's not like a guaranteed thing, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. some people do and some people don't. And it's,
I've thought about that a lot, and this is the theory that fits the best with me, is that we all we're like composite souls of one vibration that is also part of the all that is one, right? So, but within that vibration, that soul breaks off into a lot of different manifestations. And so especially large figures in history, a lot of times are made up of a lot of composite souls together. So a lot of people feel like they are or have been this person because they have joined together to become this very large, massive energy together. So, but I think that certain parts of us maybe choose not to come back. Some come back a lot. And I believe that us as this person in this time experiencing this reality from start to finish, yes, I think only happens once.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we are infinite souls and will always be something somewhere. It may or may not include a physical body, and it may or may not include a physical body on Earth. So
yeah, that much I can definitely correspond and definitely believe in, because I do think there are so many, in all my research and all my psychic, you know, learnings and teachings and just even my beliefs and my core beliefs and my religion and whatnot, I do have this sense that, I mean, there's certainly the sense of the soul, you know what I mean? So this is the reincarnation, really, is, you know, what happens to the soul when we pass on, and those questions have multitudes of answers. And as I learn more about it, sometimes I'm certain that the soul does this, or I'm certain that the soul does that, and then I learn a little bit more, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, maybe it doesn't, you know, so kind of interesting. And I popped onto your website with Dr. Weiss, and it's spelled Weiss, and he's the one who did Brian Weiss, Many Lives, Many Souls, Many Masters, and he has a little question and answer, and it says, you know, do all souls reincarnate? And his response and his answer to that says, I think that sometimes you have to come back. And if you're learning what is not finished. You find yourself being born into another lifetime. There are also some choices involved, however, but apparently there are no limits to choice. Highly evolved souls do not have to come back, but often choose to reincarnate and help as teachers. So it's really it's interesting what his theories are about it, too. And here he has a, you know, why do we reincarnate? And he says, I think everyone reincarnates because we have many lessons to learn, lessons about love, compassion, charity, nonviolence, inner peace, patience, et cetera. It would be hard to learn them all in one life. And some people come back voluntarily to help other people. So, you know, it's he has a lot of interesting things that, a lot of questions that you can look at and have, you know, and get some quick answers. But
good
I really
answers.
Would like to read this book. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And also, it's interesting what you said about being a Pisces and being at the end of the cycle, because it's true. You know, we came in, when we came in under these signs for a reason, also to tell us about ourselves and where we're at, what we're looking to do. And so I think also there are these levels of vibration that we're coming back into. And I think that there are large cycles that include many lives of understanding things from this perspective in a physical body. So, and like being an Aries, you know, I know I've started a new thing here. You know, this is the beginning of something. And so wherever you are in the chart, I mean, it goes from child to old age and stops along the way, just like life, the teenager, the middle age, the whatever. So you can look it up and see where your sign is. But yeah, I think one of the reasons to look at past lives is, and definitely the thing that it's taught me, is like where we're coming from. For instance, one of my past lives was about being an Indian chief that had to figure out irrigation for his tribe, or else everyone was going to starve and die. And the feeling of responsibility and you know, trying not to freak out and just thinking of a good idea, and those things, they were all very prominent in my regression. I mean, I felt the whole thing. I could see it. I can still see it. So to know that this, and it rings true for me now, this idea of responsibility to always have the answers, do what needs to be done always, just figure it out. You can always figure it out, you know? And so you can go to someone to have past life regressions. I do past life regressions. It really is best though, if I think, to be in the same place with the person. So, you know, unless you're in New York City, you may have to find your own person. But you'll see it really awakens like a whole understanding of your knowledge of yourself. So it feels like it truly happened to you. You're not making up a story, and it doesn't feel like a dream. It's got a different feeling from a dream. So that's probably the best words I can use to describe it. So, and I was going to say a couple things people can do to find out about their own past lives is, one, to go to a museum and just don't even look at it. What's just a museum that's big or that you feel called towards, and just follow your gut. Look at what's available and say, ooh, that sounds interesting, and then go that way and just see what it is and walk around and see what strikes your interest, if anything. And a lot of times when you hit on something that is of your vibration, it really calls to you. You want to stand there and stare at it. It feels familiar. You have different perspectives of this picture that you're looking at, more than just what's been painted here. Any one of these feelings can show you about yourself, even a time era that you've been in. So even just knowing the time era and place that you've lived in, if you look into a little bit of what that place is like and going through during that period, you can know a little better about, you know, what you've been through. And I always think it's interesting to think about times where I may have been a peasant or someone living and working with the earth and not having to worry about money, as well as somebody that's been living in poverty. What might have that been like for me? You know, what do I think about now? Or a lifetime of riches. So even just these broad ideas of what kinds of past lives, you'll feel things ring true. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you haven't been these other things before, but I think if these things really ring true now, there are lives that can help you with what you're dealing with now, what you're looking at now. Like, you can draw on the experience that you had being one thing or another. Does that make sense? Am I making sense?
Oh, you're making perfect sense. I love it. I mean, being an art major, I've always gone back and looked at different periods of art and different styles and different, almost even different places. And art, I know, maintains a vibration. The paintings and sculptures and work that any of the artists do capture a vibration of the person of that time period that's working on it. It's almost like it's more than a photograph. It's an essence. And in that essence, what you do is, I've always been attracted to Van Gogh and period pieces in that realm, impressionist pictures or whatnot, but it's not so much a particular place or painting or this, that, and the other thing, but it's a vibration. And, you know, it can draw you in, and it just makes me think of that time frame and whatnot. And, there's definitely some people are more attracted to Egyptian pieces of early Egypt when they go to the museum and they see the mummies and this, that, and the other thing. And some people don't even want to go into that realm because of such strong feelings. And recognize what happens when you have strong feelings as well. You know, it's not necessarily, you know, what's attracting to you, to what you're attracting or what you're attracted to in a good way. But sometimes there's things that happen, like what's going to happen to you when you become violently ill when you see something. There's got to be a reason behind that. When you start to have emotions that are not necessarily like in characteristic of just having the emotions of seeing the painting or seeing the piece, then it's touching upon something in you that's reaching out to you about that time frame or the person who did it or whatnot. Yeah, it's very
absolutely.
Those places are very strong, and you can really tap into psychic abilities in libraries and in museums.
Yeah, that's a good point about when you feel like strongly repelled by something or any kind of a strong emotion, because I mean, we talked about it when we did our show about the shadow self, about the Nazi that I know somehow, some way, I can understand it. And I was always fascinated by it and was always, you know, so repelled by the idea, of course. But still, like, the fascination, it was like watching a car wreck that you couldn't turn away from. And also, you know, being a psychologist and just thinking of things scientifically, I was fascinated by looking at Hitler to see how could this happen? Like, how, and how does one person, like, what's going on? Like, what's the level here? So I would always look at that. And the way I realized that I definitely had a Nazi in my head was was realizing the way that I talk to myself sometimes. And I could picture this guy, you know, in boots and the whole thing. I was like, wait a minute, this is such exactly that vibration. And had to learn to deal with it, you know, had to learn to get this guy to work for me. Because, again, at the end of the day, no matter what any figure or anyone has ever done in life, we say it's good or bad. It's not, you know, we say it's good or bad. It really is just it. It just is. Like, somebody made that choice and went that way. And now we know what that is. The idea is all about expansion and knowledge and understanding. You know, we can be thankful that now we know what that is, and we know not to go near that, you know. So, and, you know, to not have judgment about what you are relating to, because it can teach you a lot. Like, you know, getting in touch with my inner Nazi really taught me a lot about my own perfectionism. And how it also goes along with the slave driver kind of a thing, to how to be kinder to yourself and how to soothe those energies that may still be present in your life. You know, even if you have a prejudice, a strong dislike for anything or anyone or any, you know, idea, well, you can do this, but you can't do that. You can be this, but not that. Well, you kind of got to look at that, because you may have been the victim or the victimizer, but if you're feeling so strongly about that, that's definitely a thing for you, you know. So,
you know, when I think about past lives and stuff, when I think about what I think to be almost like a certainty, which is kind of interesting because I'm really, I never know anything to be certain or whatever, but I think about immediately what grabs me is when you see a child who's like 3 to 5 years old and they already know how to play an instrument, or they already know how to paint perfectly, or they already know how to like speak in 2 or 3 different languages and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That to me is almost like, if I was going to say proof to the pudding, that it's just, it seems so much more realistic to me when I see these kids that are like so crazy good at something that there's no way that they could have learned it. They already knew it, like knowing something as opposed to learning something. What do you think about those kind of kids when you see those?
Absolutely. I absolutely think it's past life. And also we can look at that within ourselves as, you know, what am I just innately good at? What do I just, for some reason, I just get it. I just get this. And so that can teach you a lot about yourself. And even the next, suggestion, I guess I was going to talk about is watching historical documentaries or movies, because sometimes you just sort of understand where this person was coming from, be it, you know, some sort of warrior like Genghis Khan or Henry VIII or anything, Joan of Arc. You understand what they're thinking. I think that's very interesting. When that happens to me, I'm like, why do I know this person's story so well? And with further and further digging, it has to be that I was a part of that. I was either that person or near that person and there during that time, because there's no other reason for me to feel so familiar about places I haven't even been, like England, you know, or Egypt. So...
Right. One of the things that I would be sure of, and I would put money on this, that if there is the past lives, and then we can go back and determine where our past lives were and what we're doing, is the connection that we have with people and how, you know, we must reincarnate with the ones that we care about and stuff like that. What do you think about that? Like, I'm certain that if there was the cycles of reincarnation going on, that my daughter would have been in my life time and time and time again.
Yeah,
I just couldn't imagine that. You know, my family, my parents, siblings, friends.
Well,
and it's that when you connect with someone, when you look at them and you're like, I know you, you know, that feeling. I know this person, and you have no clue why you know them, or that's why people think they fall in love so quickly. They're like, I knew I loved that person before, and they just feel it so deep in their souls.
Yes, absolutely. I think that there are people, just like here on Earth, we have our running mates and our bestest friends that just get us. The reason they usually get us like that and we get them is because we're on some sort of very, very similar vibration. So if you think about, like, all of us sort of symbolically running through the universe, somebody is going to be running, matching your speed, and probably a few people who are going to be in your general vicinity. So when you think of it that way, you know, who knows? You could be traveling with these same people who are just your besties, you know, for lifetime after lifetime. And I definitely believe that we put people into our lives. We have rendezvous points where, okay, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to grow up. Around 13, your family's going to move near my family, and, you know, we're going to have that day in the playground, and we're going to be off and running. Or, you know, some freak like you and I, you know, two bells go off and what is going on, and we find each other facing each other, and for some reason we just sit down and spill our guts out, you know. I mean, that's definitely a rendezvous point. And if you've had those, you know, like, there's no way that you could have orchestrated this. And you didn't, just an hour ago, this person didn't exist. And now it's like it's like your new love. So definitely you have people that you've known before. And totally, I think a lot of people do fall in love with people sometimes because that's their agreement. You know, I'll meet you on the other side around 26 years old, and, you know, we'll have our love affair. Or we've been lovers before, and this time we need to be something else or to see if we can be something else. And sometimes that's where confusion comes. One person feels, well, but I love you so much. I feel so close to you. Why isn't this working as a relationship? Well, maybe that's not necessarily the way your unionship is supposed to go this time around, you know, or maybe there's just some things that need to be worked out, and their soul agreements. So, like, if they don't get worked out, they're going to be the elephant in the room forever. Because, you know, this is, we were like, yeah, let's come and work this out together. And you said, yeah. And so here we are. And some people forget sometimes why, you know, what we're doing. So, you know, you have to have unconditional love and just respect for someone else's free will. Just because you get it doesn't mean that they get it. But, you know, it's definitely going to be a strong thing. And then there are other people where I think sometimes they come in just to be a thorn in your side, and it'll be like a challenge, you know. It's very interesting when you think about these things, how people, but you can feel it.
Well,
you can feel
one
the
of
the different
things,
vibration.
I mean, honestly, like, yeah, I mean, one of the things that it fuels so many people is anger and vengeance and resentment. And sometimes, as much as we want to love and be kind, caring towards everyone, it's the negativity that will fuel your desire to see somebody as well. So, you know, we've talked about that, and perfection is, you know, key to that. But, you know, I'm sure that there are people on the, you know, coming back life after life because they've been wronged or hurt or abused or murdered, and they want revenge, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, so if for every positive or every plus, there's got to be something that is on the flip side of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And and people seeking, you know, and you know, ultimately hoping to look for forgiveness through the whole entire process. I think that, I mean, I think we do have end results that we want to be on a plane of forgiveness and a plane of acceptance and a plane of love and caring. I think that's our final destination. But in order to get there, we need to experience love, hate. We have to experience like the hate and the resentment and the anger and the jealousy, or else how will we know love? You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm sure there's certainly situations where people come back solely to seek with revenge, you know? And,
Hopefully yeah, that's the contrast.
Yeah.
Right. That's the contrast that we can't, living in this world of duality. So, if that's what we want to learn all of, then you have to see both sides. And if you came, I want to know everything there is to know about this kind of love, you know, because I think love is such a huge eternal thing. I don't know if you can ever really know everything there is to know about love, but to come back and search out a certain pocket of love. And you're right, that extreme love can turn into extreme hate, depends on your perspective. You know, is it about ownership, your mind, and that you have to complete me, or you have to do, you were supposed to be my, and why are you not, you know? So, but it's very interesting to see how we deal with that. I mean, that's what we talk about a lot on this show, is where you choose to put your thoughts. So when you can have this broader perspective from your past lives and knowing so much more of yourself, not just this lifetime, then you really can understand why you may be making certain decisions. For instance, if you've been a warrior of some way, shape, or form in any time frame, I mean, war has been going on for so long on this planet that chances of you being a warrior at some point are very high. So it depends. Were you always a soldier? Were you always a foot soldier? You know, do you feel this sense of camaraderie? Is it more like you're trying to protect yourself in the battle and you can't trust anyone around you? Are you a general? Do you send other people into war? And do people follow you? People follow you, and that's such, if any of what I just said rings true to you, then definitely look into what kind of warrior you've been, because I find if you don't relate to it, you're kind of like la-la. So the warrior, and especially in a time now where we understand that we're at the cutting edge of thought here, the leading edge, And we want to learn how to do these things peacefully with ourselves, with other countries, within our entire planet. So if you're a warrior, maybe you've been a warrior for many, many lifetimes, and you know war. How do you become a warrior in peaceful times? How do you apply what you know about war and be on a warring planet and choose peace while still being true to your warrior nature? I mean, that's an interesting game, isn't it? I feel like I'm definitely playing that one. I think there are probably many, many people that can relate to that. Like, because if you're an activist of any way, or you strongly believe in anything, you probably have at least had the to fight for it, to fight about it, to argue with people for it. And if we understand vibrations, that's not necessarily the environment that we want to create, but we feel so strongly about this. How do I get this done, you know, with any kind of, with Occupy Wall Street, with any kind of, you know, save the animals, save anything. I mean, how do you do this peacefully? And I think as a world, we're learning this right now. How do we do this without just becoming one of them and have it be a numbers game. If I annihilate enough of you, that means I'm in charge. Well, you didn't win anything. You just took away a lot of things. And that vibration always comes back, and it doesn't work. I mean, clearly it doesn't work. So, and then if we can recognize that that's what we're doing on the planet, we can also recognize that that's what we need to learn with ourselves.
It's kind of interesting because that kind of really, what you're talking about with the warrior's journey, 100% corresponds with the tarot, as well as far as the journey of the tarot cards, because tarot is a journey, right? And it went way, way, way back, but it used to be about the hero with the 1,000 faces, and it's basically like a single story told over and over again with different myths and different, you know, I think it's Italy is maybe one of the places where it first comes up. But the story goes like this. There's an inexperienced person suddenly displaced and thrust into an unfamiliar territory, and where he or she is aided by some and hindered by others. And following a series of trials, the individual matures, warms to the quest, and after near defeat restores order. And that's just basically like the path of the tarot cards. It's the fool's journey, and it goes from the innocent fool where through trials and lessons, he goes through this, you know, all the way to the world, the end. And that journey that presents himself with particular people, allies and enemies, situations like love and lust and the tower, which is, you know, hardship and whatnot, this journey finally brings them to the end result, which is the world, which would be the ultimate end where you don't want to reincarnate again. So that's how kind of tarot approaches the same, it's the same art of like, you know, the story of where we're going with ourselves. And that's how you can use tarot to delve into your past life as well. There's many things that you were talking about, different things going into the library to find out your past life and situations like that. But there's methods on the internet that you can, you know, Google or whatnot, but like you can meditate yourself into a place where you're serene, and you could walk down a path and bringing yourself into your past life, consciously bringing yourself, or having your friend direct you. Like I love doing co-meditations with people, finding a good meditation on the internet that you can bring yourself backwards in time, meditation or through hypnosis, and going down a path, and then until you get a door and open the door and see what that life is on the other side, and accepting what you see and bringing that to yourself. And when you're using the tarot to look, explore your past life, do the same thing. I mean, for me, reading tarot cards and whatnot, I like to create the, you know, get the vibration, elevate my psychic ability, connect, use crystals and whatnot. But if I were to do a past life reading, I would have to regress a little bit, get into a deeper state of meditation and connect on a deeper level and see where someone is on their journey, and maybe only use the major arcana in that particular spread. So there's a lot of decks out there that just simply have the major arcana. You can pull your major arcana out of your tarot to investigate where you are and just pick one. You know, use an oracle card and pick one. Where am I on this journey of life? And you know, you might find that you're the fool. You're at the beginning of this whole thing. Or you might find that you're a little further progressed, that you're at the point where you're under balance and the hanged man, and you're not moving forward, and you're exactly where you're at. But then you might have, you know, moved through difficult times like the tower and whatever until you finally reach that sun and the world and whatnot. So that's a journey that you know, you can apply to your today, but you can also pull in past life experiences as well into that.
Cool. That is really interesting. I don't know that I ever knew it quite like that, that that's what the tarot is all about. And it is the hero's journey. Always, we're always the hero of our own story. And that helps me a lot too in meditation, is to look at myself from as the hero walking through this world and these trials and tribulations, you know, then you see it on a different perspective. Like everything takes on new meaning, bigger meaning.
I have a wonderful deck. It's the Tarot of the Elves, Nicole, and we've read it together a lot. But specifically, it's a journey of this elves and into like their essence are in the cards. And when you think of the elves, it's like you always think of them on a journey. So it's a much better depth to kind of look into this vibration. So it's mystical, it's whimsical. I definitely recommend this deck for someone looking to go a little deeper. The illustrations on it are absolutely fantastic. It brings you on a voyage. You know, the colors and the landscapes and the scenery behind these elves are wonderful. So it's great energy. It's great wisdom. But, you know, picking a tarot deck is something that's very personal and you know, something that you practice and everyone can get good at. So it's a definite great way to tap into taking a look at your present or your past or your future. It's a vehicle.
Oh, yeah. Nice. And another vehicle I want to mention, our sponsor, Daughters of Isis, makes wonderful oils and essences and misters and incense, all to work with, whatever you want to work with. But she's got a great line of getting in touch with your ancestors and so many different, if you go on the website, daughtersofisis.com, you can see the different categories. So you have the Hawaiian, sort of the island, the big gods and the different vibrations there. And then you have the witch oils that has that kind of a vibration. And then the Egyptian essences and some of the ascended masters. There's so many different, I mean, that's just to name a few. If you go over there, you'll see how massive. It's like the Library of Alexandria in smell form. It's pretty cool. Yeah. So definitely check them out. And to journey with one of those, you know, when you follow your gut, because I think we all know those archetypes in history that we've just always been drawn to. Like, that's my girl or that's my guy. It's for a reason. So to go into meditation, looking for where you fit into that story, and then using either your oils and essences or your tarot cards, anything that brings in the information to you. And it's great because you'll always know if it's fitting or not. Like, if it's not fitting for you, you know what size you are. You know what taste you like, and you also know what lives you've been. So for anyone that's looking to find out more about themselves and they're like, oh, but how will I know that I'm in the right place? You'll know. Just follow the excitement, or even look at the places that freak you out totally if you've got some balls that day, you know, and you're feeling a little frisky. You want to check out what that is, because that can also teach you a lot. So yeah, I think that's and also how we're all looking at money and our relationship with money. That's also very helpful to think about, you know, past lives. Do you feel like you were a princess a lot of times, and what's this deal with me having to worry about money right now? Like, what? Like, I should just be taken care of. Or do you feel like money is never going to be with you? It hasn't been your friend. I don't know how people get money. you know, coming from that vibration. So, and anything in between, like you can really learn a lot and help yourself to go, okay, you know, just because that was a past life, to make it full circle with Dr. Weiss, it's been so long, I can't remember if it was him or my therapist, but one of them had past life regressions on themselves because they had huge neck problems. Like, nobody could figure out what was wrong with this guy's neck. But it got to the point where he couldn't turn at all and was constantly in excruciating pain, and his back was hurting, it was spreading. And so he got past life regressions, and he was a German in this life. And in this past life regression, he was a Jew that was thrown over a wall and left to die with a broken neck for like 3 days. So, like, once he cleansed that out, like, you know, let go of that, because that's what happens in these regressions, especially when you do it with professional, you know, you can really let go of whatever has decided to manifest itself and come back up, like, in your physical body, you know.
While you were talking, Nicole, I did what was my past life test on the internet. We don't have a lot of time. But I put in, you know, they asked me a few questions like, what's my favorite color and and what's my sign and everything like that and what I'm afraid of the most. And it turns out that I was a princess, and I just wanted to let you know. And I was born in 1578 in Newcastle, which is in England somewhere. And I was a rebellious princess with an untamed spirit and a love for adventure. And in my spare time, I like to explore the nearby forest, practicing my fencing with the knights, which I don't know if I practiced fencing with the knights, but I'm sure I was practicing something with the knights.
Thanks, that's surprisingly fitting, smart little Google.
Oh, it's just a fun little, it's worth a Google.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. I mean, they're asking all the right questions, right? You know, to give you at least one.
I didn't see this paragraph.
Uh-oh.
It says you died an unfortunate death because my father's castle was attacked by pillagers who had been abducted and left in the forest and the rest of your life until you starved to death. Oh, my God, maybe that's why I'm so heavy. I need to eat all of that. Oh, my God.
Wow.
I know that we're coming to an end.
Yeah, great. That is great. You go, Di. Always, you Pisces, man. You're always good for just throwing in a zinger. Everyone's going, wham. That's great. So good. Nice. All right.
Good stuff. I'm going to have a past life, I'm definitely going to be a princess. So I didn't expect to die of starvation. That was like, that wasn't in the cards.
Yeah, I mean, it's something to look at for sure, you know.
I will have to meditate with on that, and I will have to book a session with you next time I'm in New York, and we could do this together. I'd love to. It'd be so much fun.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, if you want to get in touch with me and tell me anything or ask me anything, you can find me on Facebook, Nicole Tomasini. It's Tom S. Eni. And email nicole.tomasini@gmail.com. And if you have any questions for Diane, you can email me, and I will definitely pass along the information. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Skating Angel. I've seen you in the chat room, so thank you so much for joining us. And peace and love to everyone. I'm going to play us out real quick with a little Ziggy Marley, True to Myself. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Love yourself. Love the world. Good night.
true to myself. Got to be true to myself.
Awesome. Love that song. Peace and love, everyone. Love yourself. Love the world. Good night.